So would you join me by gathering your message notes from 2 weeks ago? Those message notes will have the title on them, Real Happiness. The real happiness comes from understanding your purpose in life. This is a question that seems to be asked by most collegians when they enter their freshman year in college. Why am I here? Well, we figured out that it wasn't because mom and dad said you had to go, and it isn't because we just became tremendously enlightened. The reason we are here, we have discovered, is that God has a plan and a purpose for us. Some of us that are worshiping this morning on this live stream, some of us are saved. That means we have become children of the Most High God. Some of us who are on this live stream today are not people who are saved, but people who are self-deceived. We thought we were saved, but then as we learn more about what it is to be saved, how it is we come to salvation, we're discovering we missed the boat, but we have another opportunity here to get on it. Likewise, there's this third group of people, and they've never stepped across the line to give themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning's message is really for all three categories. I've been learning so much about it, and I'm trusting that today will be a day of salvation for some of you who have joined us this morning. You know, I don't get any brownie points if you make a decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact of the matter is this: God loves you, and that was the first thing that we were learning. He loves you so much, he doesn't want you to find yourself at the end of this temporal life going to hell and there suffering torment for the rest of one's eternal life. I love you too, but that really doesn't matter. But the fact of the matter is, I do love you. And there are people in our church family. I don't know who they are because I'm not him. But I don't want to show up in heaven one day and discover that some of the people I love so much really were self-deceived, and they weren't there when I got there. And I don't want to be there. Well, I still will want to be there, but to see people not showing up, that I had the joy of being their shepherd, and they didn't make it in. So 2 weeks ago's message, this message is so key and important because you love so much. So as we learned last time, why am I here? The first thing is, God made me to love me. He made me, Ron Seidel, to love me. And he made Eugene, and he made Barbara, and he made Kelly, and he made Chris, and he made, what's your name again? And he made, you know, VJ, and he made Tanner. He made all of us. But not all of us are the children of God. And he made us to love us. The second thing we learned last time was that we were created to enjoy a personal relationship with him. If you think about that, sometimes some of us have been Christians, real Christians even, too long. And by that I mean this: we become bored with him. How do you get bored with the one true living God? How does that happen? It's because we never found out how, or we refused to enter into what we learned about the DPE, the gnosko relationship, that deep and personal experience with him. He made us to love us, And he made us so that we would enter into this DPE with him, this deep personal experience with him, and also to manage all of the rest of his creation. He has given to some of us, all of his kids, have a portion of his estate, and we are to manage it. We get to manage things that belong to him. We have nothing that belongs to us. It all belongs. Everything in the world belongs to him. Everything outside this world belongs to him. He is the creator. He is this marvelous, artistic, benevolent God. And he wants us to manage a portion of his creation. And that makes you, and that makes you, that makes you all the way in the back. That makes you special. And to remember that, to walk in this life now, to know, I'm not just Ron Seidel. I'm a special Ron Seidel. I've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that is not something that everyone can say. But you can, we can, and I hope and I pray that by the end of the message, all of you will be able to as well. We also learned that, third, when we know him, when we have this deep, personal, loving relationship with him, when this love on our part is the same love that he has for you and for me. He sought our best, our greatest, and highest good by going to the cross and there dying, taking the full wrath, the full punishment of his Father upon himself, so that you didn't have to go through this, so I didn't have to go through this. When we enter into this relationship with him and love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and live in harmony with his purpose for our lives, it produces tremendous benefits for each of us. And I listed them there for you. Some of you were just discovering them 2 weeks ago. Others of you were finding, well, that's why I have these things in my life. It's because you're part of the saved. And some of you maybe think, well, I don't get to enjoy this. Why don't I enjoy it? Could it be, because I'm not God, could it be that you're self-deceived? You thought you came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? So what's the problem? The problem we figured out is selfishness, it's self-promotion, it's I want to be boss, I want to be God. Now we may not go around saying, I want to be God, but the thing is, I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, and he's not going to interfere with that. It's all about me, and it's not. And that's something some of you haven't learned yet. So what's the problem? The problem is that we have this attitude, and there's a three little word that describes this enormous jam-packed attitude that is filled with evil. And that is sin. S-I-N. You look at that center letter in that word and you see it's I. I. Me, myself, and I. That unholy trinity. It is sin that is our problem. So what's the solution? What's the solution to this? And this is where I left you last time. Notice what it says here in your notes, here in John 14, verse 6. Jesus is speaking to the apostle Thomas. And Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, I didn't make that up. And this is Jesus' own statement concerning himself. And I'm going to trust that he knows more about that than you do or I do. Did you notice, though, that when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me, he did not say, I am many ways to God the Father. You've heard people say, there are many ways to God. There are many roads that all lead to God. Folks, that just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Because if you've ever studied any of the world's great religions, they all contradict themselves. They're all a contradiction. Some say that you are saved by works, by the things I do, the good things I do. But who says what I'm doing is good? Who's going to determine that? If there is no God, or if there is another way to this God. There are not many ways to God. Some say that you're saved by works, but Christianity says you are saved by grace alone, God's favor upon your life. Through faith, a gift that God gives you alone, in his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it. If you think that many roads lead to the same place, it's like saying, I can call any phone number and reach my house. Is that true? Can I call just any number and get my home? That's ridiculous. Only one phone number is going to reach my cell phone. Only one phone number is going to reach my home. Unfortunately, every salesman in the United States knows what it is. He knows how to reach my home. There's only one number that will reach my home. Jesus said, I am the way. He did not say, I am a good way. He didn't say that I was one of the ways. And he did not say he was even the best way. Jesus said, I'm it. I'm the way to God the Father. Any other way is the wrong way. The Word of God says, the good news is Jesus has, if you're looking at your notes, Jesus has already taken care of your sin problem. Isn't that wonderful? He's already taken care of it. He didn't go to the cross just for Ron. He didn't go to the cross just for Jason. He didn't go to the cross just for Barbara. He went to the cross for all of us. All of us. But his going to the cross is only effective to those of us who follow and fall into what I'm going to be describing here momentarily. Notice in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The Apostle Paul, he says this, for the wages of sin, the payment for your sin is death. Now that's the bad news. The next word is but. I've shared with the church family and some of you that but to me, that three-letter word usually means whatever you've said before the but now gets erased. Just forget about it. He says that the wages of sin is death. But, that's the bad news, the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the good news. So we can forget the other side if we are the saved ones. If we're the ones that respond to the Lord speaking to us individually in our hearts, in our minds, to come to Jesus and to lay down our lives and give ourselves to him. As you look back at your notes, God did this for us because he loves us and wants us to know him. He loves us and wants us to know him. Remember, the wages of sin is death. If you break man's law, you're going to have to pay the penalty for having violated man's law. If you violate our Heavenly Father's law, then there is a penalty that he has set forth. And the Word of God says, the wages of sin is spiritual and physical death. The good news is somebody has already taken the penalty, taken your punishment, died in your place. And that is what Jesus Christ came to do on the cross 2,000 years ago. Have you ever thought about this fact? That every time you write down a date, I was thinking this morning as I'm writing out my offering check to our Lord Jesus Christ for Kathy and I, I'm dating it. What is today's date really focusing on? I mean, what is it in reference to? What is the reference point of this morning, August 2nd, 2020? 2020 from what? When people say it's the year 2019, the year 2020, the year 2021, what's the reference point? It's 2,020 years ago from Jesus. Jesus is the focal point. It was BC and now it's AD. It was before Christ's death, burial, before death, his birth, death, burial, and resurrection. And AD, Anno Domini, is speaking about being after his resurrection from the grave. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, I didn't until I just questioned myself several days ago. Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us, and this has always been powerful for me to think about, because nobody knows Ron better than Ron does, other than now I know he knows me better than myself. But all of the evil that I have participated in before I came to faith, and the sinful activities that I have either thought, said, or done from the time he saved me. It says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for people like you and me, people who have violated his law. God took upon himself the work necessary to do this through his son, the Lord Jesus. Now look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. I'm sharing from a paraphrased Bible. It gives the word picture more clearly that I want you to be able to discern from the text. It says, God is on one side, and all the people, you and me, were on the other side. Christ Jesus is between them to bring them together by giving his life for all mankind. So here's a picture. Imagine you're on vacation, you're at the Grand Canyon, and you're looking out at the beautiful vistas that you can see there at the Grand Canyon. And as you look down into the canyon itself, marvelous, a marvelous work of our handiwork of our Lord's creation. Now, some people, they're not going to want to take the bridge, Jesus, to the other side where God is. They're going to try one of these other ways. Because all ways lead to God, right? Wrong. Only one way. But you've got these people, they're going to jump off the edge of the Grand Canyon and they're going to fall. And they're going to die. But then you've got the guy that's kind of athletic, and he's going to take a running start, and he's going to jump. And he goes out about 12 feet. And there he goes. He dies. And then you've got the gold medal guys and gals, you know, from the Olympics. And they are gods. They've received these great awards. And you have the gold medal guy running this way, and you got the gold medal girl running this way, and they jump, and they pass the distance of the first guy. They pass the distance of the second guy. They're 20 feet beyond the distance of the third guy. And then they fall down, all the way down, and they die. So rather than trying, rather than you trying to jump across the gap to Father God, walk across the bridge, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Trust Him. Look at your notes. Father God has already done His part to restore our relationship to Him. He took the initiative. In reality, He didn't have to do anything to save us. Now He waits for each of us to individually embrace what He has done for us by grace through faith in Jesus. What does God want me to do? I've done it. What does God want you to do? What does He want you to do? He wants you to do three things. And if you've never invited the Lord Jesus into your life and made a genuine commitment to Him, a genuine commitment means, you know, you get up in the morning and you offer yourself as a living, holy sacrifice to Him. Here, I'm yours, Lord. What do you want us to do this morning? You take up your cross daily. You're going to identify here with Him every day. And you're going to walk with Him in the power and the leadership of God the Holy Spirit. What He wants you to do is He wants you to invite Him into your life every morning. And He wants you to do this thing that you see here, number one. Admit that God has not had first place in your life and ask Him to forgive your sins. Admit you've been a sinner and ask Him to forgive you. There's no ritual in how you do that. It's just like talking to someone you know well. Lord Jesus, please forgive me. I have done this. I have done that. I have. Talk to Him. Just talk to Him. Ask Him to forgive you for your sins. Look what He says here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says here, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. Now, the fellows who have been Marines, and I guess you're always a Marine. That's what I'm told. I'm a former Air Force guy, but I've never considered myself for my life to be an Air Force guy. But the Marines, they're special individuals. They really are, at least the ones I know. But you see, Marines, they know what it is when He says here, He is faithful. You see, that is their motto, Semper Fi. Semper Fidelis, always faithful. He is faithful. He is always faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify our hearts from all unrighteousness. Not most of it, not a lot of it, all of it, all of it. If we confess our sins to Him. I've said in the past, even if there wasn't a heaven, and there is. But even if there wasn't a heaven, I would still want to become a Christian so that I could have a clean conscience. How about you? How about you? Abba Father says, when you invite my son into your life and come to him, everything you have done wrong is completely, absolutely forgiven and forgotten. Forgotten. I don't know how that works yet. I've talked to other theologues because God is all-knowing. There isn't anything he doesn't know. But yet, he's going to forget this. I think he's using terms that help me to understand. He's not going to hold it against me ever, ever in my life. It's wiping your slate clean. It's starting over again. In fact, that is what the Word of God calls it, being born again, being born from on high, as you see in John's Gospel chapter 3. You get a brand new life to start over before him. What is the second thing God wants us to do? You believe that Jesus died to pay for your sins. Your sins, individually. To pay for your sins, and that he rose again on Easter and is alive today. The Word of God tells us in Romans 10:9 from the Phillips, which is a paraphrase. If you openly admit by your own lips, you know, you're speaking out loud in front of others. If you openly admit, excuse me, by your own lips that Jesus is the Lord, and if you believe in your heart, your own heart, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. What does it mean to call Jesus Lord? To call him in the Greek, Kyrios. Well, in part it means that you're going to put him first. First in your life. Make him number one in your life. It means that he's going to be your boss, the one you go to and ask for your, what should we be doing? He's going to be the chairman of the board of your life. He calls the shots. You report to him. He's going to be your master. That's what it means to call him Lord. In Acts 4, verse 12, it says, and there is salvation in no other name, no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. One name, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. So in your notes, it says, accept. That's your fill-in. Accept. Receive, if you will, God's free gift of salvation. Don't try to earn it. No, don't try to earn it. The Word of God tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for you who are not a Christian, you say, why are you always referring to the Word of God? Because it is the authoritative, authentic, faithful words that have come from him. He's the one speaking. I'm just saying what he said. In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it says, for by grace, by God's favor, you have been saved through faith, through trusting in God the Father's Son and his work upon the cross. And this is not your own doing. You didn't do this. You see, our Heavenly Father determined, even before the world was, that he, according to the counsel of his own will, was going to choose you to be part of his family. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works. No works involved here. No earning this. So that no one may boast. Our Heavenly Father gets all the credit. Jesus gets all the credit. He's the perfect sacrifice for you and for me. If you're saved by grace, Father God's unearned favor, that means it is a free gift. You can't do anything to earn it, to get into heaven. It's obvious free gift to those who respond to his Son in faith. Get it? Good. Our relationship to, if you're looking at your notes, our relationship to Father God is not restored by anything we do, but based on what Jesus already has done for us. Number three, you invite Jesus Christ to come into your life and to be the director, Lord of your life. The Word of God tells us in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, but to all who believed, genuinely believed him and accepted, received him, he gave the right to become the children of God. Now you may be saying, friend, we're all God's creatures. We're all his children. And I don't want to be argumentative. I just want to say what he has said. He has said to those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to be their master, to be their savior, their redeemer, it is to them who believe that and have asked him, received him into their life. They're the ones that are called the children of God. Yes, all of us are his creation, but not all of us have been adopted into his family. The text goes on and says, these people who have believed and accepted, they are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. It was his divine appointment, his divine birth that brings those into the family of God that are called Christians. To begin a brand new life, that's what this is about. Notice there are two words underlined here, believed and accepted. This is what it means to become a Christian. To believe in Jesus and you receive him into your life. So let me ask you, where are you regarding the things that have been shared this morning? Where are you? Are you saved? Are you sure? If you are, great. Do you find that maybe you were self-deceived? Do you find that you're not saved? If this is true, self-deceived or not saved, I'm looking straight at you. That's great. That's awesome. I'm really happy for you. And you're saying, he's nuts. What just happened here? What's going on? This is what's going on. I'm seeing that you're halfway there. You're halfway there. You just need to invite Jesus into your life. You need to invite him into your life now. And if you know you invite him into your life now, only if you know that in your heart, in your mind, you have a clear sensing. This happens with all the become real Christians. They sense this pull, if you will. There is this knowing in your mind and in your heart that he is drawing you to himself. All that belong to him know his voice, so to speak. And I don't mean an audible voice. I mean like a voice inside. You're halfway there, folks. Some of you, anyway. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, this is a passage that has been used to talk to people who have yet come to faith in Christ. I want to point out, Jesus is talking to people in the church. He's talking to people in the church in this passage. But it has a beautiful principle for both sides, if you will. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. The door of what? Your heart and your mind. I'm standing there and I'm knocking. You hear that? That's me. That's not the Lord. Okay? He stands at the door and he knocks. If anyone hears my voice, you recognize this because he will help you to recognize this down deep inside and opens the door. I will come in to him or her and eat with him or her and he or she with me. Isn't that sweet? Now I'm going to ask in just a few moments that we're all going to bow our heads and pray a simple prayer together. And if you've never invited the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, I encourage you to do that in just a few moments. There's no Ron standing here twisting anybody's arms. I'm not going to get a bonus at the end of the year. This is your time to understand. Have I heard through this message from the Lord Jesus, from God the Father, that the Holy Spirit is knocking and wants to come into my life? You have that sense of, I want to give in. If you have that sense, I'm going to encourage you to invite Jesus into your life and turning it over to him this morning. Looking at your notes, you can take these steps that have been listed here this morning by praying a simple prayer of commitment. Now, that's a big word, and a lot of people have prayed a prayer, but they have never made the commitment to the Lord Jesus. They don't offer themselves up every morning to him as a living sacrifice. They don't enjoy sitting down and reading the Bible and hearing him speak into their lives. They don't even want to take the time to pray. They'll pray sometimes, but they don't enjoy his presence, the DPE, that deep, personal experience. I'm talking about the DPE for you who is ready to make a commitment to him. So let's bow our heads and let's pray. This is just a discussion on the part of some of us directly to our Heavenly Father. Or Jesus, just say right now in your head or your mind, dear Jesus, thank you for making me and loving me. Even when I have ignored you and gone my own way, I realize I need you in my life. And I'm sorry for my sins, sincerely. I ask you to forgive me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Please, please help me to understand you and your sacrifice more. As much as I know how. I want to follow you from now on. Please come into my life and make me a new person. I receive your gift of salvation, and please help me to grow now as a Christian. I declare these things and ask them sincerely in your redeeming name, Jesus. Amen. Take one more look at your message notes. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10:13. Whoever, don't think that you have a sin that he cannot or will not forgive. Now you may not feel any different since you prayed that prayer. I understand that. For me, I was passionately in tears when I prayed a similar prayer and gave my life to Jesus. But we don't rely on our feelings, but we trust in the inerrant, infallible, authoritative, faithful Word of God. Many years ago, I stood up in front of a number of people and I said two words that changed my life. I said the words, "I do," to Catherine Louise Nelson. And I took her as my wife. At that time, I had no idea of the full implications of those two little words. And the rest of my life, in 2 months, 51 years, over the course of that time, I have been acting out and learning the implication of those two words expressed to another person. Now, just a moment ago, some of you said, I do to Jesus Christ. You do not understand it all, and that's okay. This is just the beginning of a brand new life and relationship with God the Father through God the Son, who you may call Jesus or Lord Jesus. And as you grow spiritually as a Christian, you'll understand more and more of what this commitment is that you made this morning, and what the great benefits are that he wants to just lavish upon you as his son or daughter. You have been adopted this morning into the family of the Most High God. Now that you are a Christian, what should you do? Well, the Word of God has given us two symbols to remind us of our gracious, merciful salvation. One is baptism, and the other is the Lord's table, communion. And in the weeks ahead, we will speak more about those two symbols. But there's also a third thing I encourage you to do. Now, I know some of you that are in the live stream, you're on the other side of the country. You may be in another nation. But I'm going to ask you to do the same. Seek out best you can. Ask the Lord to help you to find a Bible teaching, an honest to goodness Bible teaching, preaching church to be a part of. We're the inerrant, authoritative, authentic Word of God is being lived out as well as taught. We'll speak more about, again, these things in the days ahead. So get it? Good. I want to encourage you who invited the Lord to be, you made that commitment to the Lord this morning. I want you to write this down. I'll try to go slowly. Write down Granada Hills Community Church, or better yet, we just call ourselves GHCC, okay? You write that down. And then underneath that, our address is 11263 Balboa Boulevard, B-A-L-B-O-A, Boulevard, in Granada Hills, California, and our zip code is 91344, 91344, or you can go online and you can write us at GHCC, the number 4, the letter U, GHCC, number 4, letter U, @gmail.com. Write us a note in an envelope or in email and tell us who you are, your name, your address, your phone number. And before I go on, I promise you this, your name, your address, and your phone number will be used only for our office necessity. That's it. We won't share it with another human being, another corporation, anybody. Your number becomes our private stock, if you will. And I'm asking you for that, to write a note that says, I made a real commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And with that, we're going to send you a package of information. There's no cost to it. We'll send you a package of information to help you to continue in this commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, to grow spiritually, to become this new person in Jesus Christ that he wants you to be. Get it? Good. Let's pray, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for desiring to see all of humankind become part of your forever family, to one day be taking up residence in heaven, and one day a brand new heaven. But until such time, Father, we ask you to continue to bless those who are your children, these new children coming into your family. May they sense your presence. May they know your love. And may they hear me and know that it comes from you. You will never forsake them. You will never desert them, that you are with them always, even to the end of what we can't even get our mind around, eternity. So, Father, we thank you for our great salvation. Lord Jesus, we can't thank you enough for being the very one that would make our salvation possible. We thank you for becoming the wonderful, loving God-man that you could receive our sins upon the cross, that you could receive the wrath of your Father upon the cross for our sins, and that we now are safe in what you've accomplished. You've taken away all our unrighteousness, even the thoughts that may be wrong in the next couple of hours, the actions we might do as we're still growing and our flesh is still bothering us and wanting to sin. We need your help. So may your Holy Spirit continue to be strong within us. May we follow his leadership. May we have his power released within us to have victory time and again over sin that would want to take us down and break our hearts and make us feel as if we don't deserve to be your children. Because the fact is, we don't deserve it. We have become your children now and forever because of our receiving your grace through faith in your Son and his accomplished work. Amen.